And then any 34-year-old woman on every season of The Bachelor who's treated like she's Rose from the Titanic. I just love that they do that.
When they're and the younger women are like, so what was life like in the 80s?
Yeah.
Was it hard?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it was hard.
Please, please, ma'am, make the dial-up sound again. Make that majestical. Hello and welcome to episode number 528 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertaining but do not matter.
To find out more about these cynical pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking old freaking people in pop culture.
But before we do that, if you are listening on Wednesday, November 1st, before 5 p.m. Central, then you still have time to snag some merch from our shop. Just head to knoxandjamie.shop right this second. Seriously, I want you to pause the episode so you don't miss out. We'll wait. Okay, now that you've handled the business, also this week is my birthday, and the perfect birthday gift you could give to me is subscribing to our newsletter called Note for the Audio. It costs no dollars, and we send you a fun email every week featuring behind the scenes, curated content, and some of our favorite things on the internet. Now, the theme of this episode today is aging, and our entire staff at the PMG shared their favorite product in Aging Well that comes out on Friday, November 3rd. I included my go-to book and guru for all things skincare and a four-step skincare routine from a brand you can find at Target and Amazon that will cost less than $85 and last you several months, which will truly transform your skin. So head to knoxandjamie.com/newsletter or hit the link in the show notes to sign up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, Jamie, can we address the elephant in the room? Can we just
I'm getting older, but better. I realize I'm the senior adult at our company, the PMG. I am the old, I'm the only Gen Xer at our company.
I'm sorry. I was not trying to be ageist. I was trying to talk about, we're now a quad box of people recording.
I thought it was about my birthday.
I know.
How dare you?
It was going to be a crescendo.
This is my birthday
right?
month. We can't make stuff about other people. It's my birthday.
Technically, this is October and it's not your birthday month. You know?
People are listening to this in my birthday month. So
yes, but we're recording
we
it. Spirit of the law, it's October. There's an energy shift.
It's weird. You've taken my emotional support coworker from my room.
I'm sure we talked about this and people may or may not know, but when we record, Jason lurks off screen as the editor so he can listen to like what he needs to
and
work
opens
on.
Opens drinks loudly.
That's right. Very loudly into the microphone. And then Aaron and Jamie share the same kind of like feed. So their audio exists on one feed and Aaron is kind of off camera. I can never see her, but you can feel her presence, Jamie. And like sometimes she comes into view. Now Aaron is in a different room. And she's on her own screen.
So
I can see
away.
Her. She's got her own audio. This is like a whole new thing.
It's a whole new world.
And I forgot that was happening. Mm-hmm. And when I saw her coming off the elevator, she goes, okay, see you later. And I was like, oh, wait, what? Where are you going?
It immediately changed the vibe. It immediately
changed
the vibe.
It did. I was like, because also she was like, I'm so excited. And I was like, how dare you be excited about leaving
it's
me?
It's not leaving you.
Maybe
it's
she meant your birthday. She was excited
that
about
That is what it is. I was excited about your birthday. And
So excited that I didn't want to be in the same room with you for 2 hours.
It's just a new fun thing. That's all.
I know. It's fine.
So we're talking aging. We're talking old people on the episode today. I just want to ask, like, you know, this isn't anything we prepped or is in the rundown, but like biggest way you noticed you're getting old, like straight up. Jamie, what do you got?
Oh, my estrogen is dropping. Listen, welcome to perimenopause. We're all doing great. Listen, and guess what I've learned? Everything will go wrong in your entire body from tip to taint. Because of losing estrogen. It is a struggle. And so that's the biggest way. Because I haven't had the vision issues that other people have. Because I have an astigmatism. So it corrects for me. It's very nice. I couldn't drive at night at 19. So that hasn't really changed. Wow. So what about you? What have you noticed? You're 40. You're in your 40s.
Yeah. I'm still 41. 40. Not 40s yet. I'm still 40.
You're about to be 41.
Some people are saying barely in the 40s, honestly. If you go like Roman Catholic calendar. Loud noises really break me down. Really break me down. Loud concerts. I'm just like, I don't know. I just think we should leave. I don't like it.
You need to get those headphones that babies wear at concerts.
I would love to. That'd be great. Also, I suffer shadow injuries during my sleep. During the live shows, I pulled a hamstring sleeping after one of the performances. And then at some point this week, I sprained my ankle while I was sleeping. And it just, that doesn't feel great.
Yeah, you're rolling with Aaron. What's happening?
I know. I hesitated even bringing up the ankle thing because, no offense, Aaron, I just didn't want to be tossed, you know, into your category yet. But
that's fine.
Yeah. Aaron, beyond the obvious, is there anything we don't know about?
Really, what cinched it for me was when I fell in my pickle fall, I expected to hear laughter. And instead I heard, ma'am, are you okay? And that's what did it for me.
That's when you know you're old, is when people don't get joy.
Yeah. They were worried. That was painful.
Well, I'm excited to have this conversation about aging because I think I started as an ageist. I've kind of mellowed out.
Have you?
Jamie has started as really kind of a centrist with aging, and now you've gotten really radical. So I'm interested.
Because I did not want to see Jennifer Aniston and John Hamm have sexual relations on the morning show. I just felt like they were too old. I wasn't ready to watch people in their 50s have sexy time.
Yeah. Enjoy your loneliness with that take because everyone wants to see that. Jamie, do you want to talk maybe some like notable performances in the realm of aging?
Yes. So listen, I come from this from a perspective of some people handle aging great. Some people do not handle it as well.
Sure.
Here's some things that I think have done aging well. What is, when you think about what is the best movie to make the aging process a critical component of the plot, and it was one of the first films to really embrace aging technology.
I got to say Benji Button.
That is exactly right. F. Scott Fitzgerald, 1922 short story, which I did not know that. That was just a fun fact I learned today.
I don't think I knew that either.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Aaron, you're looking at us shocked as if we should all know the short stories.
I feel like I'm going to get called out a lot now.
You are, because that was a lot of shock. Like how you were, it was embarrassed shock. Like I'm embarrassed.
It was shock for
you.
Knox, honestly, the English major. Right.
Wait, what? That doesn't seem fair. Come on.
Not knowing.
What the F? Is this what this is? I'm going to get strays from you now.
Sorry, I can't.
It's hard. We're sitting here straight on now. It's tough.
I'm going to do a better acting job. I'm sorry. I'll shut good, up good, now. Good.
Use that theater degree. Okay, look. Now, so the movie follows obviously Brad Pitt, who is a character who has a strange disease that makes him age backward. And listen, the special effects in that movie still hold up. I watched this past year. And I was like, you know, for a movie that came out so long ago, this really, it does a great job. Kudos to David Fincher for leaning all the way in, because watching Brad Pitt act as a baby, he's excellent. Like, he's really, really good. And so I think that's a great example, because there's a lot of de-aging that has not been good. Captain Marvel with Samuel L. Jackson, not good. But this was excellent work, particularly when he's dancing with Taraji P. Henson as like a 8-year-old baby.
Yeah.
But he's like an old man. It's so good. I love it. And then the other thing that I think has done really well, and I think the people who have cornered the market on aging in Hollywood are all the dermatologists who work in Beverly Hills. Kudos to them. Let's talk about who has really done the best work. Let's talk first about Jamie Foxx. I was watching Jamie Foxx in The Burial on Amazon Prime. It's an excellent film. And I was like, he's 56. And he still looks 35 minimum. Like, it's unparalleled. And look, kudos to the dermatologist who did his hair transplant, because he looks fantastic. Like, that's an ideal hair transplant. It looks really good, allegedly. Although, the dermatologist practically did an interview about it. So it's kind of like, that's a HIPAA situation, but no matter. Then of course there's Jennifer Lopez. Now she tells you she only uses olive oil on her skin. That is false. We have photographic evidence that will tell us that there has been an injection here or there. Okay. And I think that she's probably had some filler and she's had Botox, but they've done an excellent job. She looks stunning. When she's in those McDonald runs with sad Ben Affleck, she's stunning. It doesn't matter that she's like drinking a crispy Diet Coke. Like, she looks amazing. And then George Clooney. Listen, George Clooney is one of the first celebrities that owned his plastic surgery. I was like, yeah, I had my eyelids done. What? I look great. And he does. He looks great. So many people have had that surgery. It's called blepharoplasty. And it, listen, and as somebody who has hooded eyes and wants that surgery, listen, I look at Blake Lively and Taylor Swift and I go, I also want that surgery. Y'all look amazing. You did a great job.
Is that the one that's like secretly everyone's getting that, but no one's talking about it?
No one talks about it, but there's so many people who've gotten that surgery because Jennifer Lawrence got that surgery. Like, it's very common in Hollywood because it just opens up your eyes. Emma Stone has gotten it. I think they just went in a circle and were like, let's do a group deal. Let's use a Groupon and all three of us can get it.
Shout out.
And then finally, of course, the iconic, when I say to you, people aging well and almost miraculously in Hollywood, who is the first person you think of?
Paul Rudd.
Thank you, Jason. That's exactly right.
Did I get it right?
You did. Paul Rudd. Oh, listen, cool. Paul Rudd is 54 years old. And does he step out on his wife? Allegedly, no matter.
How allegedly is that allegedly? I need like a percentage scale.
It's mysterious. It's probably 40% what? Allegedly. There have been women who've said they've seen the Paul's Rudd. You know what I mean? And so
Ant-Man was the joke. Paul's Ant-Man. That's what it was. That's you want to do it again? Run it again. 3, 2, 1.
Ant-Man? You think you call it Ant-Man?
I mean, what's a Rudd, right? Like, what are we doing
you
here?
Know
we're
what
splitting
a Rudd
hairs
is.
With penile nicknames.
But anyway, what he's done is he's had laser facials because he's really just taken really good care of his skin. It's not like he's had. Now, could you sell me on he's probably had a facelift? Yes, like for sure. And it looks amazing. What?
Big sigh. Aaron, got to get to the bottom of that. Talk to me. Sorry. What are we
you're
thinking?
You're on Google. You're looking at stuff.
I am.
Seeing?
I'm looking
what
at the booty plasty. What did you call it? Blepharoplasty. It's very subtle, but it makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference. Look at little
Renee Zellweger. Here. Incredible.
Yes. Hers was probably too much.
Oh, you think so?
It probably went too wide. I think they might have gone too wide because she was so iconically known for her little disappearing eyes. And they might have gone too hard.
Interesting.
I'm thinking in the moment here, since this is a Brave New World, part of me wants to make Aaron screen share the entire recording so we can just see what she's Googling.
See what's
and
going
share.
On over there? I don't know. I think as two people who are ADHD survivors, no. I don't know that we would thrive.
That might be very distracting for me. And I do just want to say, Aaron, care to comment? I'm on bookanalysis.com/ well, the slash isn't important.
Uh-oh.
And Benjamin Button, it doesn't even make their top 10 of best F. Scott Fitzgerald books. So is that really such a strange thing for me not to know?
I don't know. I just felt like you were the guy who would know it. And that, I don't know. It was shocking.
A lot of
me.
Aggressive hand gestures.
It was shocking
Jamie,
to me.
Jason, can you back me up, please?
It was just shocking to me.
Ma'am, put your cast down. No. Please put your cast down.
Ma'am, please put your blunt force trauma weapon. Please.
Do y'all know who I'm going as for Halloween?
Who?
Evan Hansen.
God, it's right there.
Oh.
Are you just going to sing? What's my favorite? The
Waiting through a window.
There it is. Yeah, that's right. All
night. Copyright strike right now, but worth it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Worth it. 100%. Jamie, when you think of an old Hollywood star,
yeah,
who do you think of? What's
Jane
the
Fonda.
First thing that. Who?
Jane Fonda.
Yeah. And I think she's interesting because she's super old, but she's also kind of well-preserved too. So she's kind of like at the crossroads of what we're talking about.
She has done the labor. Like, she is getting that stuff delivered in bulk. You know what I mean? Like, she looks great. But now I noticed she was on the cover of a magazine recently and she was Photoshopped to the nth degree. And I was like, they don't do this to men in the same way. Tom Hardy's allowed to just look like he's in his 40s. But Jane Fonda, it's like, I don't want people to think she's in her 80s. Guys, we can do the math. We know she's in her 80s. Like, let her just, because I think there's a balance between not looking like yourself, like almost too much, like a Kylie Jenner. Like, I'm not saying Kylie Jenner's not stunning, but like she was stunning before all the work, you know,
right.
And she could have just been allowed to be who she was. But like Jane Fonda, she's aged gracefully, but she's definitely had a little nip and tuck.
And that's the hard part is like, once you get on that locomotive of managing appearance, you can't ever get off. because right. You're training us to perceive you in a certain way and training people to perceive you in a certain way. And I don't know how to like gracefully get off of that whole spiral almost.
You know who's doing it? Who has said, I will not color my hair. I will not do any procedures.
Robert Redford. He's who I think of. He aged. Period.
He stored children in those crevices. Good
it's
Lord.
A lot. Yeah.
But it's Sarah Jessica Parker. And she's a part of the dialogue right now because in the show that has now been renewed for the worst show in television history has been, and that's, I'm putting that up against Joe Millionaire. It is the worst show. And just like that is the worst show. And I also watch it religiously because it's so bad. But Sarah Jessica Parker does not color her hair. And does not do any work on her face. And people have been really critical, but it's like, but that's what she looks like. Like, why can you can't be mad about what she looks like.
Yeah.
But because she's
taking up with God, y'all. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. But then people go, but look at J-Lo. Again, J-Lo's lying to you. She's lying to you. And instead of being honest about the work she's having done and just being George Clooney about it, man, yeah, I got my eyes dead. They look great.
You know, I feel like, and just like that was probably... It didn't want to be the show that killed people with Pelotons, but I feel like it's probably a better show if it starts killing people with Pelotons, you know?
Okay. So in terms of people not doing aging well in Hollywood, I think the couple of people who really did not handle aging well in Hollywood were Natalie Portman's parents, Shelley and Avner. Now, the first problem that Shelley made is not only is she her mother, but she also is her agent. That's a mistake across the board. Don't make money off your kids. It's never going to work out, right? But
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. You go. You
every cool little bit counts, guys. Every little bit counts. You know these gas bills are tough. Okay,
I know that's right.
I'm carting you around to all your sports. I would like you to monetize this ability if at all possible.
That's true. You know? That's fair. So Natalie Portman's mom introduces her to Luc Besson, who is a French filmmaker. FYI, that's all you need to know is if he handles age well. He's a French filmmaker. And he himself, Luc Besson, married 5 times to women who were always 20 years younger than him. And all of those marriages lasted less than 5 years. So that's who we're dealing with. And he makes the movie Leon the Professional, which was Natalie Portman's debut feature film. It launches her huge career. Leon is a hitman who lives down the hall from a family where Matilda, played by Natalie Portman, is 11 years old and they sexualize their relationship with each other.
Yeah.
Not great. And then she goes on again, Shelley, Natalie Portman's mom, says, oh, should she be in Beautiful Girls where Natalie's 15 and she sexualized and has the hots for Timothy Hutton, a man who was 21 years older than her? Yeah, I'm going to let her do that. That seems right. And so I just feel like that sent Natalie Portman down a weird path, like for the rest of her career.
And then she goes into the Star Wars movies and she's like supposed to have chemistry with Anakin, like sexual chemistry. She's like, I so misunderstand what chemistry is.
Right. And you're not old enough. I need you to be 64, like for me to be able to have chemistry with you.
Yeah.
So, it's tough out there. It's tough out there.
Can we talk about some notable fictional old people that I feel like are just like a part of this conversation that we need to parse through? You know, I was trying to go through like good and bad, and there's really only bad old people. I'm kidding. There's some good old people. But like I thought, I'll cut through them really quick, and I kind of broke them into categories. So I had like a matriarch category for good old people. I have Olenna Tyrell. She's one of my favorite old people.
The best.
Just talking S-word to Jamie Lannister until the bitter end. And then you have Lucille Bluth. For not knowing the price of a banana. I just feel like these are the kinds of depictions old people need in pop culture, you know, like spicy, sassy, is still with it enough to like talk some trash to the younger generation.
Absolutely.
You know? We have Mother Abigail from The Stand. Aaron, have you read The Stand?
No, but I feel like this is a trap.
No, just some people think it's one of the best American novels of all time, but you haven't read it.
I knew. I walked right into it. That's fine. That's fine.
I'll read the summary. Just see if this hits. After a deadly pandemic, humanity gathers into factions and seems fated to clash with each other, and people are forced to decide between an agent of absolute chaos or a 108-year-old. Doesn't seem timely or relevant at all, you know, given our current circumstances. But Mother Abigail was most recently played by Whoopi Goldberg. And she's a symbol of goodness and hope. These are good things.
No, I
was going to put
her.
The Berenstain Bears parents in here because I don't know how y'all thought. I always thought the Berenstain Bears were like grandparents who had to take on the kids because something
what?
Happened.
Really?
Because one's in a muumuu and one's in like an old Farmer John. Like I lived during the Depression. Like, that's not an unreasonable thing for me to arrive at.
No, I don't think it's unreasonable, but like, my mother wore a muumuu my whole life. Like, when I was little, she was always like, she'd come home from work at the DA's office as a secretary, and she'd immediately put on a one piece. She
would put on a shower cap and a muumuu. And you would not comment on that?
That's a bonnet.
Oh, I thought it was a shower cap.
You know, she's wearing, the bear is trying to protect, she's trying to keep her hair not frizzy.
Do you know how old they're actually, the bears actually are? Jamie, I want to let you guess.
The mom and dad, you mean?
Yeah.
Like in like bear years or in human years?
In, well, I guess both, but we'll say bear years.
Do bears live as long as humans? I need some context. I need some boundaries.
I got to be honest with you. Once I found out that donkeys can live to the 30s, mind blown.
What?
Because someone, because Ashley wants a donkey on the farm, and someone was like, right. Hey, that's a great idea. Would love to see it. Just so you know, they can live to 35.
I don't like that. I thought they were good and gone in 4 years.
That's what I thought. Like live, like burn bright, you know?
I'm going to say the Baron Say Bears were in their 40s.
Okay, yeah. 40s. Aaron, do you have a guess that you haven't cheated on?
I have not cheated, but I this is a dress. This is not a muumuu.
To be honest with you, I think I'm 40% on what a muumuu is.
It's a maxi dress.
I just thought a muumuu. Okay, yeah. I don't know the difference between a muumuu and a maxi. That's my problem.
It's a fine line. I will say that's a fine line.
It's close. Aaron, the aggregate age of the Berenstain Bears parents. And Jason, I want you to have a guess.
I'm going to go 40s. 42.
40s. 42. Okay. 42.
80s.
Jason, 80s. Thank you. That's kind of what I thought as well.
With tiny kids?
Would you believe that the mom is 27 and the dad is 29?
Absolutely not.
I looked it up on the internet.
That's too far. That's gone
true.
Too far.
I know, right? That's insane. I assumed there was a second generation of bears who went wild and were sowing their wild bear oats off screen. Oh, yeah. And eventually we'd get back to them. But we never did. So yeah.
If dog years are 7 years for every human year, I want Jamie to pick what the new standard is for bear years. Yeah. I think I'm just
how long
ride with
do bears live? Is it, do, does 20. A bear live, and are they brown bears or black bears? No, they're brown bears.
Do you know which ones to fight and which ones to like yell at?
Don't do this. Knox, don't do this.
Brown lay down.
No.
Black no. back up. I don't know. That's why I don't go on the long hikes.
Just fight. Basically,
that's why I'm
fight
not
all
Yosemite.
Bears.
That's why I'm not going to Yosemite. I don't care how majestic it is. I'm not going to Yosemite. Like, I'm not doing that.
You fight all bears all the time, except for polar bears, and they'll kill you. That's
allegedly.
Evidently, like, if
allegedly.
You see a white bear, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be racist.
What's the average lifespan of a bear?
I'm looking. Sorry. 10 years, but they can live it up to 30 years. That's a big range.
That's very short.
That's
so if a bear can live to 10 years, then that's also a dog equivalent. That's a 7 to 8 year life. You know.
Do you want to know the longest living animal on earth?
Turtle.
No.
Whale.
No.
Gator.
No.
I don't know.
It's a clam. And it's 507 years old.
Do you agree that you were kind of misleading?
No.
Because we all had like an active animal.
Yeah.
And you brought like a mollusk.
That's not my fault.
And how do we know a clam is even alive? Like, how? What's their movement situation? What's their oxygen?
I am here on animalsforkids.com, and what they have told me is
I don't like that. That sounds sketchy. That sounds like a trick website. That sounds like a white van with no windows.
I didn't know Woody Allen was making websites. Ridiculous.
I'm sorry. OneKindPlanet.org has said that the immortal jellyfish is actually the longest living.
That's true. That's actually true.
Yeah.
There is actually, yes.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Immortal jellyfish.
If they want to, they can live forever.
But I guess it's in the name. They're like, what do you want? That it's in the name.
Yeah.
It's an immortal jellyfish.
Not mortal jellyfish. Durr.
Right.
Speaking of lifespans.
Do y'all know about these? I'm sorry. This.
No.
Wow. Let's just see about here.
Just so you know, any sentence that starts with, y'all.
I'm sorry. This is
y'all
crazy.
Y'all know about this?
These things are crazy.
Listen, guys, we're barely recovering from the Netherlands. Can we just like take a beat? Like we're barely recovering.
Okay. What do we got?
I'm back.
What do we got?
I'm out. No.
I want to know what you were excited
okay,
about.
When the jellyfish die, they don't actually die. They go to the bottom of the ocean and then they become static polyps and then they transform into what's called swimming medusa. And then they go back into the polyp stage and they start all over again. So they never actually die.
Well, that feels like cheating to be immortal. You just become a new thing.
No, you don't become a new thing. You start over again. You're reborn.
Yeah, but that's just reincarnation. Like, I just get to be a new thing.
Do you think caterpillars and butterflies like, are they independent lifespans?
Here's the thing.
Or,
you know,
I don't think
you know,
they
go back to goo, complete goo.
That's right.
It's wild.
I think if you go back to goo, you died.
No, I agree. Died. No,
and you died and you came back to life.
They keep like a tiny bit of their breathing apparatuses. I did a big study on caterpillars.
So it's all goo and a thumb. So it's all goo and a thumb.
It's not a thumb.
And
it's like
that
lungs.
Counts. I don't think that counts.
It's not a thumb. It's like lungs.
Let's pause. You did a quote, big study
yes.
on
I wrote a whole chapter in the book about caterpillars and butterflies.
Oh, PDF or it didn't out. Happen. I want to see
what?
That.
I'll show right it to now. You. You can read it when it
Send
comes
it.
Out in 2020.
What, a year and a half.
In 50 years, it'll come out and you yeah. can read it. It'll be great.
I love it. Speaking of lifespans, I had a patriarch category. I just want to put Methuselah in here because I think he's important because he makes people believe that you can live 1,000 years. Because you don't sin or there's a water canopy above
FYI,
earth.
He doesn't make people think that. He yeah. makes men think that who listen to Tim Ferriss.
Okay.
That's well, who thinks that.
I think there's probably a lot of evangelical ladies who think you can live to 1,002 if you just do the right things.
No, there is not one evangelical lady who's like, that sounds like I want to, I would love to cook for this man for 1,000 years. That would
You don't
be
think
amazing.
I can find one evangelical boy mom out there who you, thinks.
Like probably that trans woman, transformational woman, her, she probably would be like, I would wow. love it. It would be amazing.
What a hezzy hay. What a hezzy hay. Pump
I
fake.
Caught it. I caught it.
I bit the pump fake. I did. I also, he's depicted in, I found this painting of him, Christ leading the patriarchs to paradise by Bartolome Bermejo. I'm sure that's how you pronounce it. And Methuselah in this painting has an absolute dump truck of a caboose. I don't know why they gave him one, but he's got long hair, long beard, long glute muscles. But just a big old dump truck.
Listen,
back
if
there.
I'm gonna, if I'm the subject of a Renaissance painting, I also want a big dump truck.
Yeah, beauty. Just like, just please make me thick in the britches back
yes.
there. Also, Jesus got a little bit of a male pattern baldness thing going, so I don't know what Bartolome was.
You should keep
up
describing
to.
This painting.
This is an important painting.
You know what's upsetting? Eve is upsetting in this painting. Eve is a tough.
Yeah, yeah, it's not great. Painting. Queen of Sheba is in there too, and I feel like she's kind of got it going on. But other than that, independent operators for old people. Wilford Brimley in The Firm. Who this is my favorite example because he's been put up against a lot of people like Tom Cruise or whatever. But Wilford Brimley in The Firm, he's 48 years old, which is the same
I'm
age as Ryan
about
Reynolds.
About to be 48
now.
Years old.
I know. Well, there's Ryan Reynolds who's 48, and there's Wilford Brimley in The Firm who's 48.
Oh,
and
please say I'm
you
closer
get to decide
Ryan Gosling. Oh,
which
yeah.
one you're closer to, but it's very different. Popeye, he was a pretty interesting old guy because I like that he was like I'm a blue car guy. I'm gonna do my job. But like anytime yeah. I eat spinach, I could take over the world if I wanted to.
And I love this lady. I treat her yeah. right.
Like, he's like, when I eat spinach, I become super guy and I could like throw her to the curve, olive oil, but I don't. I stay with her. So, you know, he's committed to marriage. He shows restraint. I just think that's good. Carl Fredrickson from Up, the saddest first 12 minutes of any movie ever. And then any 34-year-old woman on every season of The Bachelor. Who's treated like she's Rose from the Titanic. I just love
Seriously.
That they do that.
When they're and the younger women are like, so what was life like in the 80s?
Yeah.
Was it hard?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it was hard.
Please, please, ma'am, make the dial-up sound again. Make that majestical like when you're using AOL. And then villains, I had Palpatine, obviously. I mean, I'm not
he
trying to make
the
case. He
was dead and J.J. Abrams brought him back. I'm so mad about it. I'm still so mad about
it. Or did it, were his just lungs in the goo
was he,
and he was still
he
alive?
Did he come of a polyp and then he rose yeah. back to the top of the ocean?
An
well,
immortal,
I don't like it.
Man, Emperor Palpatine. That's kind of cool.
There it is. You found it.
Yzma from Emperor's New Groove. She's ancient, but she's awesome. I love her. Uncle Billy from It's a Wonderful Life for losing $8,000 on Christmas, which is the equivalent to $100,000. So this man had $100,000 in his hand that was going to save his bank and his like family's life or whatever. And he just walked off without it. Like that's what a villain.
Sometimes you got stuff to do. You got a lot going on.
I know it's tough. Any president of the Southern Baptist Convention, obviously. and then King Harold from Shrek, who was a frog, but became ogre racist, which is just like, come on, guy.
Not
like
cool,
you,
not cool.
You know the deal. Yeah. Okay. So that's notable. Old people. Can we talk, Jamie? Like, was there anything, you know, as a kid or young adult or even now that like you were really emotionally invested in that like you realized didn't age well?
So for me, listen, my whole childhood was defined by Celine Dion. I had her on cassette tape. I had her on CD. I listened to her in so many capacities. I loved her so much. When she sang in French, I was like, should I become French? Because that's how I understood how your background would work, your demographics. Mm. You could just become the thing you wanted to be. And listen, I loved her so much because I also love that she was from a family of 29 kids and she just abandoned them. She was like, I am leaving this rural farm and I'm going to become Celine Dion. And she did. She became Celine Dion. And I also was obsessed with her romance with René Angélil. And I love that they were so in love and then they got married and she wore that big headpiece in Montreal. And it was one of the, it was like a royal wedding. It was so, because to me, it was like her and Mariah Carey also marrying another old man. You know what I mean? I just loved it so much. And then as now I look back on it, I go, oh no. She met René Angélil when she was 12 years old, already an iconic singer, and he was 38 years old. Oh, no. And they announced their love was official the night of her 18th birthday, because that's when it was legal for them to be in love. Great. And they ended up married for 21 years, and now he's dead. But
I think until you threaded the needle, until you brought Mariah Carey, I think I thought Mariah Carey had married Celine Dion. I didn't think they married the same guy. It's just when I thought of both of their husbands, I thought of the same guy.
It is the same face. Like, to be fair, it is the same face.
Because I'm looking at Mariah Carey's like husbands and it's like Tommy Mottola and Nick Cannon. And I was like, wow, that's a, that is a range. You know what I mean?
It did not work out as well.
Ladies got range in a lot of ways. Know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Aaron, what about you? Anything? No, this wasn't weird, Jason. It was just, I mean, her voice and her taste in men. God. Aaron, was there anything that you got emotionally invested in that didn't age well?
Well,
I feel like there's a lot.
There is, but I think the biggest one is that on our very first date, Ben planned this elaborate, like very thoughtful date for us. And it consisted of like going to my favorite restaurant. And like he had given me all these clues because we were separated over the summer because we were doing camp on different teams. So he would like send me all these clues about where we were going and what we were doing. And it was just this big hyped up thing. And at the end of the night, one of my favorite shows as a child and one of his favorite shows as a child was obviously the Cosby Show. And one of the things that he did was he made his whole family leave their house and he rigged up a blue light and he wanted us to go dance under the blue light like Claire and Heathcliff did. And it was this really sweet thing, but now when you tell it, it didn't age well
because Cliff had just roofied a woman backstage.
Yeah, probably.
Now
right,
I don't think
dance.
Cliff did anything.
Yeah, Heathcliff
in the text
did
of
not
the show.
Technically do anything. But
I like your commitment to calling him Heathcliff. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anybody
I've
in
never
my life
heard anybody go that hard. For
that
Heathcliff.
That's
even
just,
the cat.
That's his name.
I've heard people call the Heathcliff the cat.
Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable. That's his name.
The Cliff more you say Cliff it, the weirder it sounds.
I don't think
to be honest with you.
It feels like someone's never gone back and watched it. Cliff Huxtable.
No, his name is Heathcliff.
You are correct in the same way
that's
that
right.
Like
his Christian name, as is yours, is Aaron Elizabeth A.
Yeah,
you know.
No, that's not even my name anymore.
Like Knox is Rand, but like we don't call him Randall.
Right, but
like we call him Knox.
But people call him Heathcliff in the show.
Do they? I don't know that I know that.
Yeah. I mean, are you going to go back and watch or are you going to trust me?
You know what? I love that you're like, prove me wrong, dummy. And I can't. And so checkmate. You're right. Jason, anything you invested in that didn't age well?
Gina Carano, crush from American Gladiators.
Tough.
Yeah, I thought she was going to have a real career and got Mandalorian and that was wonderful. And then she stopped wanting to do stuff in Hollywood. Let's just say
she
that.
Got so. QAnon. She got QAnon.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it happens.
My bad on that one.
It happens. Okay, let's go. We did ask on social about to our listeners things that didn't age well. Jamie, do you want to read through some of these comments?
Yes. Up first is Jones Elise Marie, who said, the moment in the Faith Adjacent episode, Sacred Cinema for Everything Everywhere All at Once, when Aaron says, quote, I have good wrist health.
Oh, I don't remember that, but
Oh, Jason, do we have the audio for that? I think we do.
Oh, no.
they've carpal always tunnel. Got carpal tunnel.
Yeah. Carpal tunnel. It'll, yeah. It's a silent killer.
I know. It is a silent killer.
Many people say that, Aaron. Thank you for bringing
you
that
up. You have carpal tunnel, don't you? Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Why did you say, oh, wow, silent killer, but how dare you even suggest that I have gross disease?
I have good wrist health.
Oh, okay.
I do have good wrist health. It just... I mean, I think because your wrist
breaks. Does someone who has two broken wrists from a fall on a pickleball court, would you say they have good wrist health?
Yeah, because I think you can have good wrist health and still have broken wrists. I think that's true.
I like the spin zone of like, actually, I pickleballed so hard that my wrist broke clean, which is a sign of good health.
It is.
You know, good bones.
Aaron, are you
cooperative bones?
Would you consider yourself, because obviously you're the longest serving staffer here at the PNG.
That's right, veteran.
And you're the most frail. Is that right?
No, I'm definitely not the most frail. And I think we all know who that is.
I will co-sign that because before recording, when you guys had to meet in the middle for a box, and the idea of Jamie having to meet Aaron in the middle was...
No, it's because she wanted me to pick up something that I'm too short to pick up.
It was like asking someone to run a half marathon impromptu. It's just like, I'm not going to do that.
Why? How dare you?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting two podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod. Okay, up next we have Amanda P. Monty, who said, at the age of 3, my little brother's favorite movie was I Know What You Did Last Summer. He even used a toy pirate hook to, quote, play murderer. A few years later, my parents got super evangelical and we couldn't watch PG-13 or rated R movies anymore unless thoroughly investigating on Focus on the Family's website. Both parenting philosophies did not age well.
I will say you don't have to get super religious to not let your 3-year-old watch I Know What You Did Last Summer. There's a middle ground there.
Yeah, I don't think that's a, it's like, oh, the God I follow.
Yeah.
Or the God I don't follow. Like, I don't think that has anything to
and
do
with it. And I think to the kid's credit, he was playing murderer, okay? Not like manifesting murderer. So I feel like he knew.
But where does manifesting murderer start? Does it start with playing murderer?
I don't know.
Listen, as a reminder, my dad, Chuck, would pick up hitchhikers all the time while I was laying in the back window of our Chevy Chevelle.
Yeah.
And he also gave me a purity corsage at our True Love Weights banquet. So,
yeah, Aaron, do you want to ask the follow up?
What do you mean you were laying in the back window? Like you were laying on the ledge?
That's where I sat.
Like bait?
That's where I sat. I was got in the back. He made me sit in the back. This is guys, I'm old. This is seatbelt in the back. There were no seatbelts in the back of the
Jamie,
car.
I did that too in Cadillacs, in my grandparents' Cadillacs.
You laid in the window
of the car? It was like a cat in a sunbeam. It was delightful. Yeah.
Right above that back seat. There was just, you just wedged yourself in
there. Where everybody put their beanie babies?
Yes.
In the back? You got to put them beanie babies. You got to be proud and put those.
Yeah, those are investments.
In front.
You know, that's going to pay for college.
True, true.
Cut too. Speaking of didn't age well, you know what I'm saying?
I know. Okay, up next we have Bex Zeiner, who said, I read and loved this insane book series set in the South before, during, and after the Civil War. It had a very, quote, war of Northern aggression point of view, along with enslaved people who loved their kind masters. Also, it was very anti-Catholic. Also, the main character fell in love with and married her dad's best friend.
Oh, no. You know, this, like, it starts in, like, there's nothing technically wrong with the first sentence, you know? Book series set before, during, and after Civil War.
Yeah,
that could be interesting.
Right?
That could be great.
And
then it gets weird really fast, almost to the point where it felt like this is going to be written by Jim Bob Duggar, you know, where it's like it's got all the beats that I feel like he'd be really obsessed with.
That's right. Well, it was actually written by Martha Finley. I found the book series. It's called the Elsie Dinsmore series, and it was written between 1867. So it was tight on it. We were on it. Like, she was like, let's go. We just
I feel like she's
the
got the good perspective on the war at that
true,
point.
True. Fair. 1867 to 1905. They take place on various plantations in the American South. And Elsie is living with her grandparents because her dad's in Europe. And he finally comes back from Europe. And all the books are about her learning to be good with her dad. And the best part is, this is literally a quote from the publisher. The developing story hinges on Elsie's attempts to gain her father's love while maintaining her Christian ethics and her refusal to turn in those who bully her.
Wow.
It's a 28 book series. It went on to, quote, be the most popular and longest running girl series of the 19th century, selling 300,000 copies in the first 10 years. And it sold 5 million copies in the 20th century. Zondervan brought it back in 1998.
Ooh.
And so there are a lot of people like Bex who read this. My favorite fun fact about the story is that it is mentioned in two classics. First of all, Lucy Maud Montgomery used it as a deprecating terminology when someone says to Anne, I wish you were more like Elsie Dinsmore. That was cruel in book what two. And then, I know. And then O. Henry wrote a parody of the Elsie books called Elsie in New York, mocking it endlessly. Love it.
My favorite part about that is that Elsie's dad is like, this Civil War business is getting kind of hairy. I'm going to take off to Europe. Y'all just hang tight and I'll be back when it settles.
I know. And then what is Elsie left with? But Edward, the good friend who takes care of her, it says her knight in shining armor. And guess what? He helped her when other people were cruel to her. He's loved her for a long time.
He greatly admired her from a young age.
They ended up having eight children. Because guess what? Men can have children way too long. That's why you can't do it. You got to get married in your 40s as a woman. You can't, that way you don't have to have eight kids in a row. Back.
Yeah, you know? That's good coaching right there. You know, really, like life, you go back in time.
Tips
like,
hey, with Jamie.
Wait till the 40s. And Catholics are cool. Don't worry about them. It's not a big deal. Catholics are cool. You know?
Okay, up next is Rosalind Nicole, who said, my husband and I work at a Christian summer camp. We were having our mostly college-age summer staff over to watch a movie. You know what hasn't aged well? We chose to watch the year 2000 classic, Miss Congeniality. We all sat there in disbelief when we watched the scene where Gracie and her male cop partner, Eric Matthews, wrestle during training, and he slaps her Pikachu. Not to mention the myriad of off-color jokes just peppered in there. Now we don't choose any movies pre-quote Me Too to watch with our staff without screening first, because those early 2000s movies just hit different, you know?
I don't know that I've ever watched Miss Congeniality.
It's so good. Yeah. It is. I feel like it's right up your alley.
Is it really?
It's really good.
Like, I mean that because it's not a classic rom-com. And I think you would love how she makes fun of pageants. And April 25th is the perfect date. And you just need a light jacket. Like, I think you would love all of it. I think you would like it a lot.
Rosalind's making the case that I shouldn't like it because there's
I'm going to be honest. Rosalind, they work at a Christian summer camp. And I think that when you are super Christian, which I think if you work at a Christian camp,
you have to be pretty Christian. Yeah.
You got to be super Christian.
And you're not going to find this guy at a Christian summer camp.
It was like he hit her Pikachu, but sometimes you get your Pikachu hit when you're wrestling.
But was it like, I'm going to slap
you in
the
Pikachu? That's not a euphemism. That's just when you're actually wrestling. True.
But was it like accidental or was it like, I'm going to attack you in the vaginal region?
I think she was going to hit him in the diglet.
They were training
at the FBI. They were that's FBI accidental agents. Then. Yeah. And then, like, I was on a road trip once in a conversion van. So it had a TV. It was very fancy. Okay. And we were headed to lead a youth retreat in a
Were you in the window on this one or seated properly? I was trying to paint a picture.
Well, to be fair, I was in the bed in the back. I was. And we watched You've Got Mail on the TV. And one of our high school interns, who was a preacher's kid, asked us to turn it off because of the treadmill scene where Joe FOX and Dave Chappelle have a conversation about Kathleen on the news. And that's when Joe Fox says, I said you could sit and read for hours and no one will bother you. I said we have 150,000 titles. I said we were a GD piazza, a place in the city where people can mingle and mix. I was eloquent, S word. And she was like, hey, can we turn this off? And we were like, I think everybody's level of PG-13, it's often
it's all
connected.
About liability, right? You're just trying not to get blowback like on yourself.
Yeah, because I don't think there's no nudity in Miss Congeniality. There's no wild violence. It's very funny. I don't know. I feel like the off-color jokes are like innuendos. So I don't know.
You know, when I briefly assistant coached high school baseball, we were on a road trip, and this was during the height of the Chappelle Show. And I showed,
I'm already a mistake. Yeah.
I did show them the racial draft sketch.
No.
And I told my mom about that. Oh. And she was like, what are you doing? God. And I was just like, it's a funny sketch. I don't know.
It is a funny sketch, but not maybe presented by your assistant coach of your baseball team.
You just, you got to think differently about that stuff.
That's tough. Okay, our last one comes from Olivia K. Halverson, who said, my sexual awakening, my childhood crush, the reason I stood under the lamplight at Blockbuster staring at the hot chick poster, Rob Schneider.
Whoa. Wow. First of all, thank you for your honesty. Let's not shame.
We do not yuck gums here. And I do think there is a certain light where he turns to the right slightly in the 90s where you could make a case, like if Rachel McAdams is here for a good time, I too could be here for a good time. Like,
what are we talking
about?
Are we talking Deuce Bigelow? Are we talking The Animal? Are we talking Like, what's the hottest Rob Schneider role we're talking about? I Hubie Halloween actually, is the Benchwarmers, where he's like the alpha male who, like, has only
but
come
alpha
to,
male compared to who else? Who else is in that film?
Napoleon Dynamite and David Spade, which he is an alpha male in that regard. In 12
Year Olds. Well, then, well, relative. I guess it is all relative.
He's like, got some real leadership skills. Got
listen,
a great.
I didn't realize because at first when she was like that didn't age well, and I was like, oh, because he's not cute. And then I forgot about the bullet points about what Rob Schneider has become.
Yeah.
And so I remember. Okay, so this is what I found out. He was anti-vax. He's been anti-vax for a decade. He State Farm pulled an ad with him, and he said,
State Farm had an ad with Rob Schneider
in the 2010s, and they pulled it because of this. He took issue with California regulating his vitamin business. He does still have beyondhealth.com. And he tweeted in January of this year, the FDA doesn't want Americans to be healthy, so they have a sneaky plan to restrict vitamins and supplements that already protect you. Vitamins in this country are completely unregulated. Like, completely. You have no idea what they're putting in there. Like, you got, what are you, Rob Schneider? You're going to let Rob Schneider pick your multivitamin? No. 2015, he wrote a tweet to Donald Trump and said, "Dear Donald Trump, one thing I've learned from marrying a Mexican woman and having a Mexican mother-in-law is don't piss off the Mexicans." And then he voted for him. Like, he just came out publicly and said he voted for him. And then he defended Louis C.K. Listen, who hasn't pulled out their Diglett? Like, what do you do? And then finally, he...
I'll say I have not in the context that you're implying.
Right. And then transgender, he said, everybody knows what a woman is. A woman is someone who gets mad at you for something you did 3 effing years ago.
Okay.
So classy on all fronts.
But she just felt something when she watched Deuce Bigelow. And can we not just like be like, that's a pure feeling? It didn't hold up. But like in the moment, that was an honest, true thing that you felt, you know?
Yeah.
And thank you for your honesty. And thank you for your service, frankly, Olivia. Okay. That's our conversation on old people. The interesting ones, not the boring ones. If you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. KnoxandJamie.com/528. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What are your red lights this week?
It's time for Rapid Red Lights in honor of my birthday. Okay. Red light to Sephora, who had $10 billion in revenue in 2022, but their website didn't work for 3 days straight, and they still have not commented on it. They are 3 days silent on social media. Adjacent, girls who make a shopping trip at Sephora a romantic day. Listen to me, Madison. You are so pretty, and I love that you're doing skincare so early, but this is a holy space that is already cramped, and then you bring Aiden, who makes fun of brow products in the benefit section, saying, why are these even a thing, babe? Okay, Aiden is manspreading and mocking us all over that safe space. And by the way, dear Aiden, if you're listening, and I know you are, I could help you, because it looks like you could benefit from some salicylic acid and some lip balm. Okay, next! Red light to any millennials who think that Matthew Perry and the TV show Friends belongs to them. This show belongs to everyone. It is an institution. Also, if you're 35 now and you were in the first grade when Friends premiered, okay? You can have it, but don't like say, are we okay? You're fine. Like, you're fine. Next, TikTok superstar and multimillionaire Charli D'Amelio has launched a popcorn line at Walmart, which good for her. Launch a line. Who cares? You're a TikToker. You seem like somebody who should launch a popcorn line. But let me tell you, to celebrate, she cosplayed as a Walmart cashier, checking out her own products, and was like, this is so fun. Hey, boo. I know you, again, Charli, I know you're listening like Aiden is. And Charli, you cannot play pretend at a store that is known for paying its staff so little that its employees make up the largest recipients of food stamps in the United States. Okay? You can't do it. Next! My final rapid red light is about the vault tracks on 1989's Taylor's version. Now, to be clear, 1989 is, and it still is, my favorite Taylor album, with only 3 skips in 16 tracks in the deluxe. But Aaron and I share a grievance about the stunning song Say Don't Go being held captive since 2014, while the ridiculous Welcome to New York was allowed to open the album. Aaron?
Yeah. Why would you put Welcome to New York, a song that is only good at the beginning of a movie about pets roaming around a city on an adventure on the album instead of Say Don't Go. Like, explain yourself, Jack Antonoff. Were you tired after writing the chorus to Are We Out of the Woods or something? Like, what's going on?
Are we out of the woods? Are we out of the woods? How hard is that? Come on. Like, don't. So, those are my red lights.
I'm looking at some of these popcorn flavors. I got to be honest with you guys. I'm not impressed.
There's three, right?
Parmesan, garlic, maple bacon, and cotton candy.
Oh, maple bacon. Candy. Come on.
What are we doing?
Very cliche.
Low ball.
What, like, why do we gotta fix popcorn? Bar.
That's what I meant to say.
Listen, Orville did it. Orville did it.
I thought you were migrating into sports, and I thought it was like a bad pitch, like a low ball. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to discourage it because I want to encourage all kinds of sports. I've got 1.5 red lights. The Good Burger 2 trailer that's coming out on Paramount Plus. I was not a Good Burger person, so let me just like get that out of the way. Okay, didn't watch it, didn't need to watch it, never felt compelled to watch it, didn't feel called to it. That said, I don't know why we need a 2, especially if Kenan Thompson was kind of went out of his way to avoid Kel Mitchell for a while into his superstardom. Now it kind of feels sad, and the trailer is not inspiring any hope. It's a rough watch. It feels like a movie that wants to be put down, you know, like it knows it's bad, and it's sad that it's bad, but it's just trying to stay alive so everybody can cash the check and just get released. I don't know what this is. I don't know who woke up and was like, we need to put this out on a streaming service. I don't know what Paramount Plus is thinking. So that's the first red light. Second one, there's a movie on Netflix released recently called Pain Hustlers.
Oh my Lord.
I watched it and I want to red light everyone who says that it sucks because really enjoyed it. I saw the Rotten Tomatoes, which has been compromised. We know that by the interests of big movie review. So we can't even trust them anymore. But the audience score is 71, critic score is 23. Is it 71? No, it's not 71. Is it 23? It's not 23.
It's not
like a 57 to 64. That's the range I would put it in because I think I want to red light people who are needlessly hating on mid movies. There's just some movies that are mid, and that's okay. Our entire generation grew up with movies that is like that's not going to win an award, but it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. And through nostalgia, we've talked about how great they are, and we rewatch them. We're like, that wasn't that good. But I feel like where it's all like home runs and strikeouts now, and there's got to be room for just a nice low ball single. See what did there, Aaron? She just rolled right off. Low ball single. And it's not like changing any worlds or anything, but it was nice entertaining. This entertained me for 2 hours. Emily Blunt's great. I think Chris Evans wants to be a dirtbag so bad. So bad. And I wish he could. I wish he could be more of a dirtbag.
I wish he could be a good actor. That would be amazing.
When he does his Boston accent, that's not good acting. I think it was great. I loved it.
He wants to talk about Noma. That's who he is.
I know.
Like,
that's perfect.
That's who he is. He's not acting.
Jamie, the best actors, they just be who they are. You know, it just goes out of their fingertips.
I support the idea of mid movies. I do think you're right. Yeah. I don't think we should always have the bar so high. And I thought Emily Blunt was the light, but like, I also thought there's no way she read the script and was like, this is amazing. I think she was like, I'd like to work with these people. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
And this 100%. Would be a good hang. And I've done Gulliver's Travel, so this won't be the worst thing I've ever made.
Yeah. I just think there needs to be room for ones that are just entertaining, but not very critically acclaimed. So I thought it was fine. I thought it was really fine. I wouldn't green light it, but I'm definitely not going to red light it, you know?
Right.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, it
There's
is okay.
room. The world's wide enough for all the things in between. Jamie, what is your green light this week?
Okay, so our green lights as a whole are brought to you this week by Laura Beth Davidson. If you looked at our photos we posted from our live shows, then you know how gorgeous they were and you know how unique they were because they were done documentary style. Laura Beth specializes in family documentary sessions where she comes to your home and creates a time capsule of a day in your family's life. We promise those photographs will age beautifully and take you back in time. You can visit laurabethdavidson.com or the link in the show notes to learn more. Now, my green light this week is a book, and y'all, I was startled by how much I love this book. It's called The Night Parade, a speculative memoir by Jamie Nakamura Lin. And it is, I'm always surprised by memoirs, you know, written by normals and who are having like a pretty normal life. But when they're well done, and this one is top notch, it's so uniquely formatted. It's divided into four acts, which is a traditional Japanese structure, which is her background. And she was a teenager with an undiagnosed bipolar disorder, and she struggled with extreme rage, and she underwent an array of psychiatric treatments. In the midst of that, her father was diagnosed with cancer, and that did an upheaval in her entire family. And she started to see that everyone talked about her mental illness and her grief as you have to recover from it. And she was like, but what if there's another path? Like, what if recovery is not the way? What if there's a way to live with this rather than recover from it? And so she ends up taking the story context and she builds it, because she was like, all the stories I remember as a kid, when they dealt with scary elements or demons of some sort, there was a different path. It wasn't just escaping. And so she builds it off. That's what the night parade is. It's based on a Japanese myth in which demons and spirits march through the streets at night. And she uses that in her format of talking about her story, including pregnancy loss. And she kind of walks us through learning to live with the things that haunt us rather than escape us. It's inventive, it's vulnerable, it's poetic at every turn. It reminded me so much of Crying in H Mart in terms of the way I felt after I read it. I just think it's going to win a ton of awards, and it was so fantastic. So I highly recommend it.
It's a great cover. I really like the cover.
Isn't the cover great?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because her sister did all the illustrations, and I read it on Kindle, but I've ordered it now because inside, and I could see them on my Kindle, but there's illustrations of all of the components of the myth that she's building throughout, and they're stunning. And so I highly recommend getting this book, like holding it in your hands. So
that's really cool. And just I just want to be fair to the D'Amelio family. There's a fourth flavor called Nice Spice, and I don't know what that means, but there is a fourth flavor. So just respect to them and their culinary empire.
You think it's salt and pepper? That feels like what they would do.
Feels like just butter and salt, you know. Yeah, and that's Nice Spice. My green light this week is, I've got two. The first one is another Netflix movie that I watched recently. This is Fair Play. This is starring Han Solo and Baby Bangs from
Bridgerton. Baby Bangs, yes.
And man, this was basically, it's the story of a relationship through the corporate ladder, where we think the guy is going to get the promotion, but what happens if Baby Bangs gets it? And she gets it, and she's shown to be really good at her job. And I think my sense was that this was going to be a certain kind of movie where the guy just can't handle success, you know, where Alden Ehrenreich, which, God, that name is just a journey for me. That's my Everest. And so just like, credit to me for doing that and just like
good
sacrificing
job. Good job.
For
you
people.
Made
thank
it to
you.
To the top.
I know I'm in the death zone, you know, and I just powered through, cause that's like, just the kind of speaker I am. But I thought it was going to be like, you know, Cro-Magnon man, like a girl can't do good and like gets really frustrated. It's not really that. They really subvert that in a clever way. And they do something interesting with it. And I feel like they really lean into the discomfort that a relational dynamic like that creates. So it's I don't want to call it a thriller, but it's a nice, tight, insular kind of story about this central relationship dynamic. And there's some interesting elements on the periphery in terms of influences on Baby Banks' character. But I really like this. This is a good movie.
Really like this movie. And did it have a 90s vibe to you? It had a 90s vibe to me.
It did.
And I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you, there's like,
maybe that's the 90s I'm thinking of when I'm thinking of Basic Instinct.
Yeah, like some of these movies, like you ease in, you're like, oh, what's the vibe? Okay, I got it. This one, it's like, it's sex on a sink at a party. So like, you gotta know your surroundings, children-wise, juvenile, and otherwise.
Listen, I would argue that for the most part, I don't think you can show this at your Christian camp gathering, your summer camp gathering.
I don't know. You can be like, this is what power dynamics looks like, guys.
Yeah, Rosalind, you know? Just be aware. Just be aware.
Let's talk about that. And then I'm also going to green light. I've talked about it a couple times, but I'm going to formally green light Aster Era. This is Ashley's business that she's got. She's been launched when you're listening to this earlier last month. And it's basically just a business devoted to curation. They describe themselves as a curated constellation of goods to wear and for the home, all for the leading lady. This is Ashley and her friend Amy, and they're basically, how it functions is they're doing little drops of pre-orders, where they will come up with a theme for a concept. And it'll be in relation to a famous leading lady or an archetype of a famous leading lady. So far, they've done the anti-hero collection, and they let off with a show pony, like cowgirl collection. They actually did a video shoot where they both dressed up as Cruella de Vil and Miranda Priestly.
So good.
I had the most complicated feelings
they about were very hot. Both of them are very, I ordered from that collection. I got a cardigan. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah, it's they have like hats, they have sweaters, they have jewelry, they have purses, all kinds of stuff. So I encourage everybody to go to shopastroera.com, or you can search them up on Instagram, shopastroera. And they also do a monthly email curation, so you can sign up and get. They're both very stylish, very fashion forward. So you're going to get like the cutting edge of all the cool stuff that someone like me doesn't even understand. Like,
oh, I didn't understand. Cause I was just like, cause the cardigan I bought was called the Look What You Made Me Do cardigan.
Yeah.
And it was so cute. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off, but I'm going to buy it. It looks so pretty.
Yeah. They do a really great job. And I'm really proud of her. It's just, it's a tough needle to thread when you're trying to make something happen professionally. There's not enough margin and you're self-conscious about talking to it too much or talking about it too much, but then you got to talk about it. Cause that's the only way people will hear about it. Mm-hmm. There's so much noise and people are all trying to do their own things. You're trying to be a good spouse, good parent, good sister, good daughter, like all that stuff. It's just really difficult, but I'm really happy and proud of both of them. So make sure y'all check that out. And that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before we go, Maria, time to do shopping on Amazon. Make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So your purchases are a affiliate link or favorite item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is just Hormel fully cooked bacon.
Listen, this is 4.6 stars, 2,900 ratings. And listen, my favorite question, and it was the only question I found, was asked. Nutritional info? Calories, protein, sugar content, saturated fat? Don't worry. Bryna came right in and said, look on the package. Thanks, Bryna, as always. All right, you guys, don't forget, if you are listening before 5 p.m. Central on November 1st, Wednesday, you still have time to snag some merch. This will be our last merch launch of the year, so we would love for you to grab some fun things inspired by the podcast and our other show, Faith Adjacent. Also, you can sign up for Note for the Audio. We have a fun email newsletter coming Friday. Again, we will not sell your data until we can really make some cash off of it. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pair sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.